To Esther chapter 4, as we continue in our series here on the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4, we'll read the entire chapter there. In the Pew Bibles, it's entitled, Esther Agrees to Help the Jews. Our sermon is on Esther's call to save. We take up these 17 verses of Esther chapter 4. Page 522 in the Pew Bibles, here's God's word for us. When Mordecai learned that all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. When Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs, who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was and why it was. And Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate. And Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days. And they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. We'd be grateful to the Lord that we could hear his word read publicly this morning. Pray it would be a blessing for us today. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, sometimes we find ourselves in life in positions where we're called to make crucial decisions, crucial choices. And as we find ourselves in those positions, we may step back for a second and ponder and reflect on that moment that has come our way. And we may say, I know I've done it, where I say, how did these things ever come to this point? How did everything come together like it did, that I have to be put in this important position to make a decision? But then, when you think about it a little more, there are more times like that. More times than maybe we realize sometimes, where we have been put in certain positions for a particular purpose. And we get reminded, as we do today, that those things are not by chance. And they happen so that we might serve our Savior well. But the only way that we truly do come to understand that is if we look at things through the Word of God. The only way we come to understand that is through the lenses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we consider the Lordship and the salvation of Jesus Christ. And we need to view this episode of Esther 4 in that vein. It is a passage that will help us to remember why we're put in the positions where we are put. And realize again, they're not by chance. And they are there so that we can show ourselves to be a people that wants to serve the Lord well, to believe in Him, and to also identify ourselves with His people. So we're going to take a look this morning at this high calling of Esther that has come to her. And we want to consider, as we do, this crucial and this high calling. You can tell the tension that's here. You can see what a critical moment this is. We want to think about the approach to Esther very simply, the challenge to Esther, and then the response of Esther. So we look at the approach to Esther, the challenge to Esther, and then the response of Esther. So let's think first of all about the approach to Esther. I've mentioned in the past few weeks about how we've seen ties to Joseph as we have approached the passages of Esther. And maybe I beat that to death, but I bring it up again because it's not completely eluding us here either. Our passage begins with Mordecai, whom we have seen is a Joseph figure, and therefore he's a type of Jesus Christ. And our passage displays to us our Joseph figure as someone who's in sackcloth and ashes. In other words, he's found in a humiliated state. And that's a far cry from where we found Joseph back in Genesis 41:42. There we hear that Pharaoh took his signet ring from his hand and he put it in Joseph's hand and he clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. So while Haman gets the ring of the king, as we've seen, and Joseph receives the ring of the king and clothing made of fine linen, Mordecai's found in sackcloth. Utter humiliation. This is the farthest thing from exaltation. It's just short of nakedness. And we know why Mordecai's in this humble state. We know that. We've seen the short story unfold. It's because of the judgment of the king to destroy God's covenant people, to destroy the Jews, as it's historically stated. But Esther doesn't know this. You see that, right? Esther's ignorant about what's happening. Why are you like this? And she wants to find out what's going on. Why is it that you're acting like this? Esther's ignorant of what is happening, just like people are ignorant that Esther is a Jew. But she thinks she has a solution for Mordecai, and so she brings clothes to him. But what Esther doesn't realize is that it isn't the time for exaltation. It's still time for humiliation. Mordecai needs to inform Esther about this. So why is Esther uninformed? To the rest of the Jews, our passage says, the news of death and annihilation have swept throughout the empire. Everybody knows about it. Such news, though, need not be broadcast to the queen, unless, of course, she was a Jew. The passage is somewhat parallel to a situation that happens in the book of Joel. In Joel chapter 2, verse 12, we read that because of impending judgment of the Lord, repentance was needed that came in the form of fasting, wailing, and crying. Yet even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and with weeping and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. In our day and age, we realize some very similar things to what's going on here. It's a time, after all, it's a time that's called for a humble turning to the Lord. For Mordecai and for others, because they see judgment coming. This by the hands of Ahasuerus, before at the hands of the Lord, but they see it coming. And as I was saying, in our day and age, we realize that impending judgment is promised to an impenitent spirit as well. Whether it's in the church or whether it's outside of the church. Because you see, when people don't have a sense of impending judgment in the times in which they live, if they don't have a sensitivity that judgment is coming, they don't understand their times at all. They don't know the times. And so they don't see the need to live with a penitential heart and a humble heart before the Lord. Because there's no fear of judgment that's coming. And that can happen in all kinds of everyday life situations, can't it? I mean, if our boys and girls that are here don't believe that there are consequences for their actions in their home, they're not going to see the need to behave well. If you students out there, you boys and girls and young people, if you don't think that your grade is going to be affected by a poor performance, that's not going to change your study habits if they're poor already, are they? Until all of a sudden you start seeing D's and F's. Because that's the judgment for your actions. If workers aren't threatened with being fired for poor performance, they're not going to change their work ethic. They're not going to submit to their bosses. If discipline isn't exercised or isn't pending, lest people change their ways, then people aren't going to change their ways. If people don't believe that the Lord is coming in judgment and that we perish apart from penitence and faith, people aren't going to live penitentially and humbly and obediently before the Lord. They're not going to boast in the Lord. They're going to continue to boast in themselves. You see, Esther didn't understand the times. Not at first. In our day, it's a poor view of sin and a poor view of self and a poor view of God and a poor view of the times that moves people to live in pride and in penitence. Our own lives, when we see them as we ought, in accordance with the times in which we live, are to be lived in that sense of penitence and humility before the Lord. And they only will when we consider in faith the humble life that Jesus Christ lived for us, to redeem us. And then reflecting that life in the times in which we live with penitence and in exaltation of God and making that the priority of life, clothed with humility, as we saw back when we were looking at 1 Peter in chapter 5, verse 5. Humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in His time that in His time, He will exalt us. Mordecai's humility was appropriate for the times. Now, in due time, he'd be exalted, but it was appropriate for the time. It mirrored that of the Christ who was to come, who not only was found humbled to the point of death on a cross, but who stood before God and man, not in sackcloth, but in naked humiliation on the cross. Because that was the time that was given to him. It was a time for him to be humiliated. It was time for him to be humbled. It was time for him to serve as a ransom for his people for such a time as that, in the fullness of time, at just the right time. There would come a time for exaltation, but all in its time, first the cross and then glory. And that's true for us all. When we take up our cross in this life in which we live and sacrifice for our Savior and follow Him. Because that's the times. That's the times in which we live. Have you found in your own life that the delay of the day of the Lord is an opportunity for you to live in that manner? So see it as an opportunity for repentance, if need be. That you see these days in which you're living as an indicator of God's patience, His long-suffering, not willing that any of His own should perish, calling you to a change of heart, seeking your salvation, not in yourself, but in Jesus Christ, turning from your sin, turning to Christ. Or if you've done so, to continue to see your life as a time in which the Lord has called you to follow Him as you take up your cross and sacrifice for your Savior. Because that's the times in which we live. We also hear about, in our passage, about the challenge, of course, that's given to Esther, don't we? Esther, might we say, understandably, feared for her life when Mordecai urged her to speak to the king, even as she had once done when Mordecai uncovered a previous plot, though that was directed against King Ahasuerus. Now, however, she's afraid she might die. She hasn't been called in for 30 days. And if you're not called in and you come into his presence and he doesn't extend the scepter, you die. Now, this is a little bit different, isn't it, from Queen Vashti, who she refused to come into the king's presence, remember, when she was called. But now Esther is afraid to come into the king's presence, having not been called. But Mordecai is not going to let Esther get off that easily, calling her to identify herself and identify herself with God's people. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the Jews. In verse 13. Somehow Mordecai figures her identity is going to be discovered. And when that happens, she's going to die like the rest of the Jews. There'll be nothing special about her as a Jew. She will die like the rest. Judgment comes to those who will not identify with the people of God. That's a remarkable thought if you think about it in your own life. Judgment comes to those who won't identify with the people of God. Can people see that you're someone who identifies with God's people? That's our challenge. More importantly, does God see you that way? Now, you might be identified in all kinds of ways. I am too. You're identified as a farmer or a businessman or a teacher or a banker, the person who lives in Iowa, person who lives in a certain town in Iowa, for your color, or for your gender, or for your age, or for the hobbies that you have, and people can identify you that way. But when people come to know you, do they also identify you as being part of the Church of Jesus Christ? Someone who identifies with Christ. Of course, that's what matters the most, doesn't it? Doesn't matter where you live. Doesn't matter if you live in Dune or Rock Valley or in comparison to being part of Christ's church or Lansing, Illinois. What's important is that I'm identified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me as my all in all. That I'm in fellowship with God through Him, but also with His people. Would such an identity come to people's minds quickly with you or with me? Is that a secret to people? Would they know you as somebody who kind of puts Christ's church at arm's length? You're just kind of out there at the fringe and, you know, I'll kind of have a step in there and I have a step out of there. But or do they see you as looking at Christ's church as something that's in your arm's embrace? Do they identify you as a Christian who's connected to Christ and to His body, the Church of Jesus Christ? Do those in the church know you as somebody on whom they can depend when the church has a need? When needs arise in the Church of Jesus Christ, because you identify yourself with them. You mourn with those who mourn. You rejoice with those who rejoice. You help where you can. Can people look at you and say, there goes a person on whom you can depend in the church, because they identify themselves with the church? Only Esther has two names in Esther. She's the only one. And as I mentioned before, that ties her back to Joseph. But that also identifies her with two ways of life. The earthly kingdom in which she's queen. And the heavenly one where she is a member and identifies with Christ's people or is called to. So which is going to take priority here? That's the rub. Mordecai sees things from a bigger picture. On the one hand, he has a sense that God, though he's not mentioned, is going to bring about a deliverer one way or the other anyway, because he's mindful of God's promises. It reminds us a little bit about Abraham, too, when Isaac was asking Abraham, I see the wood, I see the fire, Abraham, or Father, but where is the lamb? And Abraham says, God will supply. One way or the other. But Esther, who knows? Who knows? If you haven't been put in this position of power for such a time as this. Now that's also reflected of Joel 2. Return to the Lord your God, and for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, and He relents over disaster. Who knows whether He will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind Him? A grain offering, a drink offering for the Lord your God. Who is to say that God may not relent? In the midst of humiliation, in the midst of risking your life, in the midst of being sacrificial, judgment may be averted. Salvation versus annihilation may occur. Good things could happen. And at the same time, Mordecai challenges Esther that if she doesn't take up this calling, her name is going to pass from the earth in judgment. And why is that? It's because she refuses to find her identity among the people of God. Esther's situation reminds us very much of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ somehow would not have taken up the cup of judgment to drink it to its dregs, to the fullness of time, all would have been lost. God's promises would have been empty, and all of God's people would have perished. But because Jesus Christ took up the challenge that was given to Him, at just the right time. Dying for the ungodly, His name didn't perish. He received the name that's above every name. And because of His willingness to put His name on the line for His own, for God's people, we too are able to know an eternal name before the throne of grace through faith in Jesus Christ and through Him alone. But isn't it a remarkable thing to think that in Jesus Christ, you and I are called to serve our God wherever and whenever for such a time as this? That's our challenge every day. To see that. To see that we're not where we are by chance. You didn't get put where you're put for a crucial decision or an everyday one. Apart from the fatherly hand of God. To serve your Savior for such a time as this. Or maybe you were put right where you are right now to say, I need to believe in Jesus Christ. I was put here for such a time as this to make that profession. Isn't that remarkable how the value of our time increases when we see that we are at the moment, at a time, to serve our God well for such a time as this? You didn't just happen to be put there. God put you there to serve Him well. It may not be the most pleasant place. It may be something that you do routinely. It may be a special moment. It may not have been a place that you would have picked. But God put you there at such a time as this. And what will you do then with that moment? You've been called, if you believe in Jesus Christ, to make a difference wherever you are at such a time as this. You've been called to look at your day as a time when you can make a difference as you serve the Lord. It's a day that the Lord has given to you to serve Him well for such a time as this. Just for a few moments here, the last thing we have is the response of Esther. Probably for the first time in our passage, we see Esther explicitly identifying herself with the Jews. Go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf and don't eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my young women will fast as you do. And then I'll go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Only she could make the difference. Only she could get an audience with the king. And in so doing, she'll be doing it by identifying with God's people. Mind you, she was between a rock and a hard place. It's kind of like Jacob long ago in Genesis 43:14, he says this, "May God Almighty grant you mercy before the man. And may He send back your other brother and Benjamin. And as for me, if I'm bereaved of my children, I'm bereaved. If I perish, I perish." He's going to give Benjamin to his sons so that he could come before the second in command, before Pharaoh, Joseph. But what could he do? If he didn't send Benjamin, the last of his sons, the people would perish. And if he did send Benjamin, would he ever come back? If I'm bereaved, I'm bereaved. And now this daughter of Benjamin, remember Esther's a daughter of Benjamin, would ultimately come before the second in command of the king and the king. And do so knowing that she was between a rock and a hard place. But who else would be able to come before the king and save his people, but this daughter of Benjamin? There wasn't anyone else. If I perish, I perish. And in that way, our Christ was the only one who could come before the throne of grace and save us. And unlike Esther, he had to die so he could save his people from eternal death. And he did that as someone who identified himself with his people. And he has written up on the cross, "I'm the King of the Jews." Truly, Jesus is the very one that we needed. And he still identifies with us today as that true man, as that true Israel. And he's still that one who isn't ashamed to call us his brothers and sisters. And see, in reflection of Christ, we need to find ourselves identified then, not with the world. That shouldn't be the first thing that people think about when they identify us, but with Christ and his people. Because we're not ashamed of Christ. And we're not ashamed to call the people in the church of Jesus Christ our brothers and our sisters. And we get to do that when we're part of the church of Jesus Christ, when we profess him as Savior, when we see by faith our identity with him, along with the Father and the Spirit in baptism. And we hear the call to reflect him and serve him humbly every single day, as those who are called Christians in times such as these. Whether the times are critical or every day, special or mundane, easy or difficult, like Esther, like our Savior, you can know that you were called to such devoted service for such a time as this, when you identify with Christ and his people, who never perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we're so blessed when we can find ourselves identified with Christ, that no longer do we live, but he lives in us. And then we can find ourselves identified with your people. We pray, Lord, that as we hear these lessons about how we ought to live and how we are to see the times in which we live, we pray that we would see them as times that you have appointed for us to believe in you and your Son by the power of your Spirit, but then to serve well in the days in which we live, in times such as these, so that people might indeed see that we side with the Lord. We identify with our Savior, who did so much humbly and obediently for us. Help us, Lord, then to profess Christ, follow him in times such as these, and to identify ourselves with your people. We'd ask that you'd accept our prayers for Jesus' sake. Amen.